Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're making our way through Holy Week, the holiest week of the church year, as we make our way toward the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ and celebrate the great Triduum of the church together. And I'm going to complete today, hopefully, John 16. I've been looking over the last number of weeks at the Last Supper discourse that's given to us in John's Gospel, chapters 14 through 17. And there's just so much there. And I'd encourage you, friends, to take up John's Gospel and slowly, carefully read the words of Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to make this word come alive in you. The Holy Spirit's the author of this word, using with the intention of the writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the words that God desired you and me to know are right here. We have the most intimate accounts of Jesus' conversation, his last longest conversation with the apostles before he went to the cross. There's so much there to understand about salvation, about spiritual warfare, about the human condition, about the love of the Father and the Son, the clarity that Jesus had about what he was up against, what we are up against, what the apostles were up against, what he wants us to understand, what we're up against, both in ourselves and in the world. It's absolutely precious and amazing. So I ended yesterday with this beautiful line from John 16, verse 14, where Jesus says, when he sends the Holy Spirit, he told the apostles, he said, it's better that I go, because if I don't go, I won't be able to send the Holy Spirit. And what this is really all about ultimately is because Jesus is the Messiah, which means he's the anointed one, and he's anointed and filled to the full with the Holy Spirit. In his person, Jesus united heaven and earth. The divine life of God is in Jesus, and he's under the Holy Spirit's anointing, and he overflows with the anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. Jesus will go through the Passion for the fundamental purpose of first honoring the Father, loving the Father, giving to the Father what belongs to the Father, and in order to save us from the powers of sin and death that separate us from God, and to make it possible for us to be washed clean of sin through the precious blood of Jesus, and to break the hold of the world, the flesh, and the devil on us, and to make it possible for us to receive the Holy Spirit, so we too can have the anointing. We can be filled with the Spirit and be united in relationship to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Christianity. This is the heart of Christianity. It's a new life. And it begins with human beings listening to Jesus' good news, the good news about Jesus, the good news of what he's accomplishing right here, the stuff we're talking about, what he will accomplish on Calvary and the battle that he will win on our behalf and how he destroys and empties sin and the kingdom of darkness of its power. And he gives us a new creation, the possibility of sharing in the very life of God in a way that will lead to eternal joy. This is the good news. And this is what the Holy Spirit comes to give us. And Jesus made it clear the Holy Spirit will reveal once and for all to human hearts the reality of its phoniness, its unbelief, its false righteousness. And he's going to expose, he's going to judge the works of the devil and everybody who follows after the devil. Everybody, whether they do it consciously or unconsciously, by refusing to believe in God, by insisting on acting as if God doesn't exist, puts them right in the crosshairs of the enemy and become slaves to him, whether they know it or not. And the last line there I read yesterday was, he will glorify me, that is, the Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. Why? How? He will take what is mine, that what belongs to Jesus, and he'll declare it to you. What you will see, the glory and the majesty, the power, the dominion of Jesus. All that the Father has is mine, therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Father has given everything to the Son, and guess what? The Son is Mary's Son, the God-man. Human flesh has been brought into the gift of the Father. It's just mind-boggling, but only the Holy Spirit can help us see it and really help us grasp the astounding reality of what's there. So pray, 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 ask the Holy Spirit to manifest for you the glory and majesty of Jesus, to help you see the mystery, the depths of this beautiful mystery that God has intended. And then Jesus goes on to say, he talked about the sorrow they would experience. The sorrow they're experiencing is both the fact that their hearts are broken because Jesus said he's leaving them, and then they're going to experience trial, which he told them about. They're going to be persecuted, and that probably created some sadness and difficulty for them. And then Jesus addresses it, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice." So when they scatter, when Jesus is crucified, the world, the fallen dimension of God's good creation, the proud and the mighty, they will rejoice. He said, but you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. Like a woman who is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she's delivered of the child, she no longer remembers the anguish, for the joy that a child is born into the world takes all that pain away. They forget it, right? And this is what Jesus is saying. For a time you will suffer, but it'll be over quickly, just like the giving of birth, and you will forget it. And he said, verse 22, he says, so you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Jesus talks about seemingly contradictory things in the Gospels. He says, you will suffer, you'll be rejected, you'll be hated, but you will experience my joy. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name, and ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So Jesus is going to make it possible. He does for us. We're baptized into him, into his body, to be able to ask the Father for the treasures that belong to Jesus, for us to see them, to live in them, to walk in them, and to become everything that the Lord wants us to be. This is what he's talking about. And he said, if you ask the Father, he'll give it to you. Jesus said, what? My Father, it's my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And receiving the kingdom means first receiving the king of that kingdom, which is Jesus. And the Father has given everything in the kingdom to the Son, and the Son wants to share it with you. And if you remember a week and a half ago, looking at John 17, that intimate prayer of Jesus to the Father, and he's praying, and he said, Father, I want them with me. I want to give to them what belongs to me. I want to share it with them because I love them. I love them the way you love me, and I know you love them the way I love you. And he wants to bring us into that experience, which is where joy can be found. And then he goes on to say, I have said this to you in figures. The hour is coming when I shall no longer speak to you in figures, but tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I shall ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. This is the second or third time Jesus is saying, the Father loves you because you love me. The Father wants to give you the kingdom because you received what I brought to you. The Father is, remember when Jesus was baptized, River Jordan, he came out of the water, and there was a theophany, a revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Follow him. This is the will of the Father, that you behold the Son, that you know that the Father sent him, and that with everything you've got, you listen to him. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you receive it, and you walk in it, and the Father will love you. This is what the Father wants. This is the Father's will. Jesus said he came to do the will of the Father. Well, a disciple, that's you and that's me, imperfect, fallen, weak and broken people, but nonetheless, disciples who are graced by God's forgiveness and a work of the Spirit. And the Spirit wants to give you and me, and what this season of Lent is about, is a deep purification so that we want what God wants for us, instead of wanting other things first. He wants to come to order our loves, to put the first things first so that we can be healthy and come to receive the things alone that will fill us with the joy that Jesus is talking about. We, fallen human beings, we cling to secondary and tertiary things, things that give temporary pleasure but cannot fill us up. They just simply can't, because we're greater than the things we're clinging to. We're made for God. We're made to cling to God. We're made to know God. And God has given us his Son to make that possible. Jesus revealed the Father to us, and the Holy Spirit comes now to reveal what belongs to the children of God, what the children of God are going to receive because the firstborn son has won it for them, so to speak. He inherited it, and he wants to share with us the inheritance of his kingdom. He said, I came from the Father, verse 28, and have come into the world. Again, I'm leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, Ah, now you're speaking plainly, not in any figure. Now we know that you know all things and need none to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. So this is so key. The Father's mission to Jesus was to communicate the reality of the Father and their relationship. And the Father helps him and works with Jesus and the Holy Spirit to help bring people to believe that Jesus was sent by God, the Father. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? But the hour is coming, indeed has come, when you will be scattered. In other words, Jesus is saying, Do you think you really believe? Like you believe with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Not yet. You're getting a glimpse, basically, he's saying. But the hour is here now. And in this hour, you're going to be scattered, every man to his home, and will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said this to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What a way to end chapter 16. Jesus said, Yes, you're beginning to see and understand, but real belief, the kind of unshakable belief, is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And when I leave and I send the Spirit, you shall receive power, he said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Then you will be empowered to be my witnesses. You can't do this on your own. You can't believe on your own. You can't get your sins forgiven on your own. You can't do the mission of the Lord on your own. It is the work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that we get brought into and we cooperate with. This is the great dignity of being sons and daughters of God in this life, to be able to join the great mission of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A mission that will echo for eternity. Friends, running big companies is a good thing. Having our jobs, good thing. All good stuff. If we do it the right way, all good stuff. But all that stuff's going to pass away. What won't pass away is you, an eternal creature. You're either going to be with God forever in heaven or separated from him in hell forever. And if you're with God, what will echo into eternity and will be celebrated is, did you love God? Did you put God's love first? Did you walk in the footsteps of Jesus as a disciple? Were you his friend? Did you walk in humility and meekness like he did? Did you seek to love your neighbor and to really walk in obedience to the Lord and to the degree that you did it? And don't despise little steps. He loves it. Every little step we take in those directions means an enormous amount to the Lord, and he'll celebrate it. Didn't he say that if you give a cup of cold water to a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward? He sees these little things with his eyes flaming fire. He doesn't miss a thing. And he's going to reward those who in love do the things that the world doesn't even notice and doesn't even value, but God values, God crowns, God rewards, and God celebrates. That is fantastic. Every day matters. God bless you. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.